السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over the receivers. Since we are coming to close to the month of Ramadan, and it is essential and necessary that we develop the love of the month of Ramadan from now, and that whatever weaknesses, shortcomings, deficiencies that we have in our lives and in our lifestyles, then we put it right before the entry of the month of Ramadan, so that we may benefit from the month of Ramadan. Otherwise, the month of Ramadan will come and it will go. So many Ramadans have come and so many Ramadans have gone. But we are still in square one. We haven't taken off from the ground as yet. We are like that speck of dust that is still on the ground. Because we don't make that preparation before Ramadan, and we don't make that intention to continue with those practices which we indulge and engage in Ramadan, of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, to some extent after Ramadan. We return to those same sins again for the 11 months of the year. So today I wish to complete that subject and the topic which I was discussing over a number of weeks, but we were not able to conclude. But inshallah today we will conclude. Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali was the tutor, he was the mentor, and Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Ali was the student, he was the pupil, he was the murid. 33 years later, his ustad, his sheikh, asked him that, how much of time have you spent with me? He said, 33 years. He said, what have you learnt in the 33 years? He said, I've learnt 8 things. So he said, only 8 things in 33 years, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nevertheless, tell me what those 8 things are, and those 8 lessons are which you have learnt. I've discussed this to some extent, but just to recap very quickly. He said, the first thing that I noticed was that every person seems to have love for something or the other. It is natural, it is human nature that you want to love something or the other, some person or the other. It's natural. So somebody will love his parents, his children, his wife. Somebody will be involved in some illicit love relationship. Somebody will love his property so much that he is unconcerned about his wife and children. There are some people who don't even know what they are earning for. 7 days a week, from 7 to 7, they are just earning, and they don't know what they are earning for. Their children are neglected, their families are neglected, their parents are neglected. Society's responsibilities are neglected. So there will be some people who will love their wealth so much, some will love their property so much. Different people will have love for different things. He says, but what I realize is that every person will have to part, every person will have to go from this world. And when he goes, then he leaves behind all those beloveds of his. Nobody's Mercedes-Benz and Rolls-Royce and furniture and gold and silver and oil well accompanies the person to his grave. Once again, we must remember that Shariat, Islam, is the perfect, Islam is the perfect religion, the most balanced, the most beautiful. So it does not stop us from making use of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. If a person is a multimillionaire, but he is a wali of Allah Ta'ala, he is pious, he is righteous, he spends in good causes, he stays away from haram, then he can be under the shade of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's thrown on the day of Qiyamah. So we are talking about those people who have been diverted, their attention has been diverted. They have forgotten the giver of those ni'mats, and they are not fulfilling that obligation towards Allah Ta'ala. So he says, when I noticed those people leaving this world, I saw they left behind everything. Nothing accompanied them to their grave except their actions and deeds. What else goes with the person? Nothing. Many a times I have given this example, or the example of that emergency light. We have these emergency lights here. And what happens is that they keep on charging. And as soon as it becomes dark, it comes on. If power failure there is, immediately the light switches on and we get light. But provided we have charged that light, if we haven't charged it, there will remain darkness. So in the same way, the whole life of a Muslim and a believer, he is charging that light through his zikr, through his tilawat, through his 5-time salat, through his fasting, through his zakat, through his hajj. That light is charging all the time. And as soon as there will come darkness in the grave, all these a'mal will light up that grave. There will be no darkness at all. That person will enjoy the brightness. In fact, the door of Jannat will be open for him. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this life in which we are not told that you must go away to the mountain top or go away into the jungles and live with the animals in Kruger National Park. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created us to live in society. But at the same time, we must not become so dissolved in the evils of the society, in the ocean of sins and vices that is in existence. We must not become dissolved in there like some salt. We must maintain our identity. We must maintain our culture. We must maintain our contact and ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must fulfill the rights of people. We must earn halal livelihood. We must live a completely balanced, normal person's life. Stay away from haram. Invite towards good. Prohibit evil. That person is a waliullah. Therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself in the Quran Sharif, he does not say that you must shun business practices, you must run away from all society. He doesn't say that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala calls them رِجَال. They are the true men. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. And from the establishment of the salat, that business does not prevent them, does not hold them back. That business does not become God. That business does not become the Ilah, the Ma'bud. The business does not become his master. He is the master. That business remains his slave. Now how many Muslim people are complaining? They are working for Muslim bosses, Muslim employees. They say namaz time, asr salat time is almost expiring. When Asr was early at 4:15 to 4, and Maghrib was about 5:05. So they say 10 to 5, still the boss is saying, no, you still got 5 minutes to make your salat. In other words, make your salat when the sun sets. If you are so pious and so righteous and so God-fearing that you have to make salat, because that is not for me, it's for you. So therefore you can make it when the sun is just about to set. So that means that the person has made that business, that profession of his, into his master and his God. Whereas that business and that profession was supposed to be his slave, and he was supposed to be the master. He was supposed to have that yaqeen and that tawakkul in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that if I have to perform my salat at the appointed hour and time, it is not going to bring about any kind of loss in my business. In fact, it is going to bring barakat in that business. Because barakat is completely lost. We don't even know what's the meaning of barakat anymore. We just think that plentiful is barakat. If there's plentiful, then it's barakat. Whereas we know that that plentiful has not brought any kind of satisfaction in our lives. At the most, we use that money, go for a holiday, go for some tour, take some trip on a ship somewhere. And when we return with the same amount of problems. In fact, sometimes it's multiplied. because we have borrowed money also from the banks on interest, so it has become multiplied problem. Because the person when he's going, now the children want to go, the family wants to go, everybody wants to go. So then we say, well then buy the tickets on HP or buy it on payable when able. So what's going to happen is that the person will now be in more problems. So that was just a little while of pleasure that he had, but he came back with more problems. So satisfaction and barakat is something totally different. A person in very little, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can give him such satisfaction that the kings of the world don't even know what that satisfaction is all about. In little, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can give them such satisfaction, such contentment, such happiness. It is easy for a person to bring down his standard of living. That is easy. It is not very difficult. If a person is having a 5-course meal 3 times a day, so then he can cut that down. If he's having it 2 times a day, he can still cut it down. And if he's having 5-course meal just 1 time a day, he can still cut that down to 1 meal, to just 1 item on the menu. If he's changing his clothes every week, buying new set of clothes, then he can cut that down. He can wear 1 set of clothes for 2 months, 6 months. Nobody is going to chase him out of the house. As long as it is washed and cleaned and ironed, finished, who's going to worry? But if you are going to worry about the people all the time, what are the people going to think of me? That is the only set of clothes that I have got. So therefore, I too must buy those very expensive clothes. So then it is not easy for a person to increase his income all the time. The increase of income is not within every person's reach. A person who is earning a certain fixed salary, that will be his salary. He may get a little bit of increase at the end of the year, but it is easier for the person to come down. So if the person is living within his means and he is obeying Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give barakat in that little. In that little, Allah ta'ala gives barakat. There are such stories of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it just baffles our imagination. And they were not angels that descended from the skies. They were ordinary human beings. Some of them were in fact from the Kuffar before they accepted Islam. They were from the Nasara, they were from the Yahud, they were from the Munafiqs. But when they accepted Islam upon the hands of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declared them radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Then look at the changes that they came in their lives. And some of the things that happened in their lives, we can't believe. So what I'm trying to get across to you is they were human beings. But yet, look at the barakat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to them in that little that they had. Afterwards, the empires fell at their feet. The Roman Empire, Persian Empire, that all came later. But look at the early days. Even when they went out in battle, sometimes it is reported, there was no food. So that one date, one person used to suck the date and give it to the next person. He used to suck the date and give it to the third person. It used to go on like that. Now, can we believe that in the sucking of that one date, just the chewing of that one date, Allah Ta'ala gave them so much of strength and power and health that they could pick up those swords? If we have to look at them in the Turkish Museum and other places, we just wonder, how did they pick up this sword, such weight? And here what they are eating, just that much. Can we send an army out today into battle to go and fight the enemies and give them one date and say, well, just chew on this date and go and fight? So what was that? It was barakat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them barakat, that it satisfied their hunger. So we were discussing that the person, when he goes to the grave, he leaves behind everything, nothing he takes with. So Allah Ta'ala says, رِجَالُ اللَّهُ تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٍ. Those are the real men, that their businesses do not divert them. From what? عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Their transaction, their business does not divert them. They are conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching me even in this business deals of mine. I cannot cheat, I cannot deceive and get away from the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is watching, He is observing. Even if I am able to deceive a person in this world, I am accountable. And in fact, that which comes through deception and lies and cheating and fraud, any other haram way, then it is going to destroy even the good wealth. That is, for a Muslim, he will not be able to digest it. outwardly we'll say that he ate and he digested it, or he wore the clothes and it was afterwards sometime torn. But in reality, it is going to bring disaster in the person's life, sooner or later. So this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, the sifat of those people, it does not divert their attention from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They are conscious. Remembrance does not mean they just take tasbih and sit down in the business. That is not the Sharia. Sharia doesn't say that you mustn't talk, you mustn't even promote your articles of sale, that you must not advertise. It doesn't say that. What it says is that you must be conscious, that you must not indulge and engage in anything that is displeasing to the giver of those ni'mats. He is the provider. No matter how much we may say, claim that my strength, my capabilities, my intelligence, my learning, my qualifications, my chain of degrees, my hard work, and I was able to achieve all these things in life. By who gave that intelligence? Who gave that strength in the body? Who gave that sight? Who gave that hearing? Who gave that speech? Who gave that memory? All computers and every other instrument that we can think of, which has some kind of memory, but we know how much of failures there is in that, and how much of things are required before we have to purchase that. And then again, how much of power it has to be connected to. Now all those things, and here Allah Ta'ala put one chip in our head and we use that. So who is it that gave us all that? So therefore these people don't forget that Allah Ta'ala is the giver. He is our Razzaq. He is our sustainer. So it does not divert them. And from the establishment of their salat. Without salat 5 times in a person's life, that person is not even a believer according to some, who go by the literal meaning of the Hadith Sharif, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar." The person who forgoes his salat deliberately, purposely, then he has committed kufr. So those who take the literal meaning of that, and some imams of Hadith, they take the literal meaning, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, so they say that that person has committed kufr. So without 5 times salat, that person according to them is not even a Muslim. And to, according to Imam Abu Hanifa and others, that person is a Muslim, just that he has got one trait of those who are disbelievers, that he is not performing salat. So Allah Ta'ala says, these people who are rijal, who are the true men, who are the true believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then their businesses don't divert them. They perform their salat on its appointed time. And from the giving of zakat, now when the time will come to give zakat, the person will look at how much is being given. The person will calculate 2.5% of couple million and he'll say that this is how much now I am giving away. So much is going. Now he's not looking at the 97.5% which is still with him. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala could have reversed the whole thing. He is the giver. He could have said 97.5% give it away as zakat. Keep 2.5% with you. Would any one of us would have had the right to question Allah Ta'ala? But how many of us would have then remained Muslims? Because we find faults in everything. So Allah Ta'ala, out of His ihsan and kindness, He said, well, you keep your 97.5. From there, then give lillah, sadqah and fitrah. But here, for zakat, which is farz, you give 2.5%. 2.5% is of certain nisab. It doesn't mean in everything you give 2.5%. You've got to look at the masail in detail of different nisabs for different things. But nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala says it does not divert them from that. And their fear is the day when the hearts and the eyes will be overturned. Qiyamah day they fear. Nothing else. They fear accountability on the day of judgment. Every person who is in business fears the receiver of revenue, accountability. The moment he says that I'm going to open your books and I'm going to check, the person gets a shock of his life. And here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who has got the angels to record every deed and every action of ours, if he is saying there's also going to be a day of accountability, a day of judgment, and on that day no person can escape. No bribes will be accepted on that day. Here we can bribe and get our way through. So that is their only fear. So Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi said that the first thing that I saw, that people love something or the other, but when they depart from this world, they leave behind. They leave behind. They don't take what they have accumulated here. The only thing that goes, or whoever they love, they leave behind. But the only thing that accompanies them is their deeds. So I made it my duty to love good deeds. And this I have explained, but what can we do? We have to explain repeatedly that when he said that I made it my duty to love good deeds, then it does not mean that he only was now going to make tasbih or zikr or tilawat. Everything, every action of the person, as you just heard now, that even that business of that person becomes a good deed if he conducts it according to the Quran and the Sunnah. That is all. He's not being deprived. He's only being shown a way which is the perfect way. If each and every Muslim had to adopt the perfect way, which is the Islamic way, then we would have seen the barakat. We would have seen the harmony. We would have seen the peace in the community. We would have seen the unity. And we would have seen so many other benefits which come with nothing but halal. When the person engages in nothing but halal, so much of barakat comes with it. So even if the person's business, as somebody, the person asked one question one day, he said, why is it that the moment I come from my business into salat, my whole salat just goes in thoughts of the business and everything else, the customers, the clients, the business, everything else. I said, the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not treat business as something un-Islamic, or it was a separate thing altogether. As we say that there is a difference between secular life and other life. Now, there is Islam, there was no division. Islam was a whole package. Everything, the person's eating, drinking, sleeping, marrying, conducting of his business and everything, the more if it is done according to the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it becomes ibadat. No nation, no religion in the world had that kind of opportunity or that kind of privilege or honor, that whatever they did, all they had to do was find out what does the Quran say, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, and it becomes ibadat. So I said the Sahaba-e-Kiram, when they went into business, they treated it as an ibadat. That business of theirs was also an ibadat. That profession, as we may say in these days, whether he's an engineer, whether he's a doctor, whether he's a teacher, whether he's a scientist, whatever he may be, then that can also be ibadat. So they used to be in one ibadat. That means the business now was ibadat. And what was that ibadat? That they were conscious that we must not sell anything that is haram. We must not cheat. We must not deceive. We must not hide defects in any article. We must be truthful. We must be honest. Now all that was their ibadat. Now when they were in that ibadat, suddenly they heard the azan. So from one ibadat, from one form of worship, they came out into another ibadat, which was salat. And here they made Allahu Akbar. So they came out from one ibadat into another ibadat, where they were conscious of Allah Ta'ala's presence and Allah Ta'ala watching and Allah Ta'ala listening and Allah Ta'ala knowing in their business. Now that was their ibadat. Now from there they came out and now they came into another ibadat, Allahu Akbar. So when they came into this other ibadat, now their minds were focused. Their hearts were with Allah Ta'ala. Their minds were with Allah Ta'ala. Now when they made Allahu Akbar, then they really believe that Allah Ta'ala is watching. It is as if I am standing before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. And when they raised their hands and said Allahu Akbar, already they put everything behind them. That business they put now behind them. Those customers they put behind them. Those clients they put behind them. Those bank balances they put behind them. That pride and everything they put behind them. With complete humility now they made Allahu Akbar front of Allah Ta'ala. So their salat was a different kind of salat after that. That is the salat that brought the nusrat and the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to them. Their problems were being solved. Well, we conclude here. The time is up. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give another opportunity to continue. But this is what is required. And as I mentioned in last night's program too, that the 15th of Shaban, we all heard many from different speakers that the list has been handed over to the angels of the people that are going to die during the course of the year. And we don't know that whether our name is included in that list or not. I don't know, you don't know. So we must be cautious, we must be on guard. and make a lot of dua for ourselves, our families, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that at present the enemies of Islam are ganging up, and they are unafraid. They are openly now insulting, degrading, taking to task the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character. They are assassinating. Now at such a time, we know that enemies are going to do that. Enemies, what else are they going to do? Do we expect them to praise and glorify the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah? They're not going to do that. But if we as Muslims are also going to engage in the same kind of actions that they engage, we talk about the love of Allah and His Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if a person has to walk into our home or associate with us for a few days or for a few hours, then he finds absolutely no difference in our lives and their lives. Then what do we expect? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assist and help the ummah. May Allah ta'ala give hidayat to the enemies of Islam, open their eyes to the beautiful teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, and bring them all to also into Islam and Iman. And if they have become obstinate, they have made up their minds, they will never accept Islam, they will continue with the tyranny, the torture, the persecution, the oppression, the suppression, and they will continue with derogatory statements, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must destroy them like he destroyed the Aad and the Samud. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.